Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me? Now, I can imagine that's the way we would feel too, 15 and 16. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Now, let me ask you this question. Why is it every time you see that scene, you always see a white dove descending? Have you ever seen one that shows the Holy Spirit descending like that? You ever see a spirit that looked like Jesus' body that's sailing through the air like a man with arms? You know, the spirit is just exactly like us. And this spirit is just gliding down and just goes right inside of him. Did you ever see that in a movie? No, what do you always see? The dove. Isn't it amazing how we dwell on the dove instead of the Holy Spirit? I mean, when I finally got a hold of it, I thought, I ain't never seen a movie. I ain't never seen a scene that saw or showed the Holy Spirit. They always show a dove. It didn't say a dove. It said he descended like a dove. So it would be awesome. You know, that's kind of like the day that, I can't think of the name of this movie, that one of the first ones that TBN made about the coming of the Lord, you know, when Jesus came back right at the end. Some of you may have seen it. It was years ago that this happened. And they made this movie, and I forget what the name of it was. Anyway, we advertised it on our television show. And so one day, Matt Crouch was watching TV on Daystar, and our show come on, and he saw the advertisement. And so he called the number, and I happened to get to answer it. And when he called, he says, I said, this is Daystar Television. How can I help you? He said, you know, I'm watching Daystar right now, and I see this advertisement for this movie. And I said, yeah, Matt. He said, you know me. I said, of course I know you. I said, I see you on TBN all the time. Of course I know who you are. And he said, well, he said, it's amazing how you know me. I said, sure. I said, you're on TV all the time, and I watch TBN a lot, so I know you. I have a problem. He said, well, what are y'all doing? I said, well, we think your movie's great. We're advertising it so people, Christians, will watch it. I said, we're all in this thing together. He said, well, wow. He said, well, did you like the movie? I said, I thought it was fantastic. But I said, I'm going to tell you a way you could have done something that would have made it much more fantastic. He said, I'm listening. I said, the scene at the end, when you showed the brilliance of the white, which is supposed to symbolize Jesus coming, I said, I kept waiting out of the brilliance of the white to see Jesus ride his white horse with all these saints behind him on his white horses. And I said, it never happened. I said, you know, why did you just put the bright white light there? I said, you never showed Jesus. You never showed his white horse. You never showed the saints of God coming with their white horses. He said, you know, I never thought about that. He said, that would have made that movie awesome, wouldn't it? And I said, yes, it would. So I don't know if they've ever, you know, they've made several movies since, but I don't know if they've ever done it. But I thought at the end, if you're going to show something going to symbolize Jesus coming, you ought to show the king and show him on his white horse with his crowns on and everything, and then show us, the saints, right behind him on their white horses. We're coming again. Somebody says, you know, I was always afraid of horses. Don't worry, in your spirit body, you won't be afraid to ride that white horse. You can ride that beast with no problem. You know, you might not have never been a cowboy up to now. I got a lot of flack from a lot of people that, whoa, this big, tall guy, first thing I saw was your belt buckle. That must mean you're a Christian. I said, that's absolutely right. Next I see your boots, you must be from Texas. I said, that's right. You're looking at a Christian cowboy. If you've ever seen one before, you know what he looks like now, because I said, I am him. I'm not ashamed of my belt buckle, and I ain't ashamed of my boots. And I'm not ashamed that I'm a Christian. Are you? Absolutely not, praise God. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighting upon him. That's the most important thing that'll ever happen to you in your life, is when you become an obedient Christian and walk in faith, when that Holy Spirit descends from heaven and empowers you to do what God has called you to do. Now, if you don't have that Holy Spirit, you ain't doing nothing for Jesus. You ain't hearing His voice. But if you have got that Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit's in there, then there is no limitation to what God can do with you with that Holy Spirit inside you. There's no limitation. Verse 17 and 18, or verse 17, that's the last one. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, Bill, how would you like to hear that today you approach the King? Is that the desire of mine in your heart? Is there anybody else in here that's the desire of your heart? One day when you die. I wouldn't mind it if Jesus come right now and just told me, "Son, well done." You know something that changed my life forever? After I encountered what I encountered when I lost my wife and daughter, and a lot of people do not understand what happened to me when I lost my wife and daughter. They didn't understand my faith walk. They don't understand where I live because they never lived there. So they don't understand why I didn't fall down and fall apart and crying and all those kinds of things like an average man. But I'm not an average man. You know, I have walked with God and I've seen His glory and I know He's in control. And so I was not going to fall apart. But, you know, one of the things that changed me forever, after the second week, or during the second week, I was at Cook's Medical Center up all night. I mean, you know, till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, go home, sleep 3 or 4 hours, get up and come back to Cook's Medical Center to walk through those chambers and pray with those little children. The second week, about Wednesday or Thursday night, as I'm walking down that corridor, just slowly, you know, I'm no hurry. I ain't going nowhere except home. So I'm just kind of walking down the corridor like this, saying, "Lord, I thank You and praise You and worship You." I mean, just talking, you know, slow and gentle. And all of a sudden, as you're walking along, you hear some steps faster than yours. And all of a sudden, you realize there's somebody walking beside you. And now He's not passing you. He's walking right beside you. And so naturally, you've turned to see who it is. And when I looked, this little guy looked like he's about 5'10". Looked like he weighed about 160 or 70 pounds. He was looking right in my eye. Those brilliant eyes were looking right in mine. He said, "The Lord said to tell you He loves you." When's the last time you had an experience like that? I had never had an experience like that in my life till that day. You know. But then a week later, the same thing with another man happened. And a week later, the same thing with another man. 3 times in 3 weeks, I had a man that I now realize was an angel, walked up beside me, and when I turned to look to see who he was, he's looking right in my eyes, and 3 different men in the same corridor, about Wednesday or Thursday, at 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, just me and him and nobody else in that corridor at all, looked at me right now and said, "The Lord said to tell you He loves you." Now, one day, when I get home, I would love to see that smile on my Savior's face and He reach up and lay that hand on my shoulder and say, "Son, I had to put you through a whole lot on earth to bring you where I wanted you to be, but you did a good job for me, son. Well done." Do you want to hear that? Amen. That's what I want to hear, too. That's what I want to hear. And that's why I do what I do for the kingdom of God. Can you imagine this? This is my beloved son. Are you a beloved son? Some of you are beloved daughters, but you're still, are we sons just like Jesus was? Yes, we are. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And He says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." I'd love to hear that, wouldn't you, Tom? Oh, I can't think of anything I'd rather hear than that. "Well done, son. I had to put you through a whole lot on earth. I've been through a whole lot. But compared to what my Savior went through, I ain't been through nothing. Nothing. Nothing at all. It's been a piece of cake compared to what He did for me." Okay. Now let's go to Matthew 4:17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. "And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" You know, He said this 2,000 years ago, and He was talking about that particular time, But just one more time, I want to reiterate, he's talking about today. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Only this time, it's going to be what they thought he came to do last time. Last time they thought he was coming to put down the rule of the Romans and to reign and rule from Jerusalem. But this time, that's what's going to happen. The last time he came to be our Savior, to die for the sins of the whole world. And then he went back to heaven to build the church. But the next time he comes, he ain't coming for the sins of the world no more. He's coming in judgment, and he's coming to reign and rule from Israel on the earth forever. He's going to be the dictator, and you're going to get to work with him. And you just imagine one day he says, Kim, my dear, I need to talk to you in Israel. And you say, yes, master. And bell, she's translated instantly in a heartbeat. She's standing in front of the king. He said, I got a little chore for you back in Dallas. I got something for you over in Weatherford, Texas. I've got a job for you over there. I want you to go back and do this and this. She said, yes, sir, Lord. Yes, sir. And she's translated right back. You ain't never seen travel like you're going to see in that time. We're going to travel at the speed of thought. Isn't that going to be something? No realms of time, distance, or speed in the kingdom of God. Beyond our wildest dreams. Mark chapter 6, verses 12 through 29, and then we'll quit. Mark chapter 6, 12 through 29. Mark 6, 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Mark 6, 12, verse 13 and 14. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick, and they healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said, John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. What had Herod done to Jesus? John the Baptist. He beheaded him. He killed him, But see, these boys, they went out, they were casting out devils, they were anointing with oil, many that were sick, and healed them. Now, if they did this, can we do this?
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Pray for Protection for You, Your Family, and the Church, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.